इति कृतानुसंग आसन शयनार्थन स्नानाशनादिषु सह मृगजहुना स्नेहानुबद्ध हृदय आसीत। Due to attachment for the deer, Maharaj Bharat lay down with it, walked about with it, bathed with it, and even ate with it. Thus his heart became bound to the deer in affection. Text 12. Kusha kusama samit palasha phala mulo dakanya harishyamano vrikasala vrikadibhyo bhayam ashang samano yada saha harina kuna kenavanang samavishati. When Maharaj Bharat wanted to enter the forest to collect kushagrass, flowers, wood, leaves, fruits, roots, and water, he would fear that dogs, jackals, tigers, and other ferocious animals might kill the deer. He would therefore always take the deer with him when entering the forest. Purport: how Maharaj Bharat increased his affection for the deer is described herein. Even such an exalted personality as Bharat Maharaj, who had attained loving affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, fell down from his position due to his affection for some animal. Consequently, as will be seen, he had to accept the body of a deer in his next life. Since this was the case with Bharat Maharaj, what can we say of those who are not advanced in spiritual life, but who become attached to cats and dogs? Due to their affection for their cats and dogs, they have to take the same bodily forms in the next life unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Unless we increase our faith in the Supreme Lord, we shall be attracted to many other things. That is the cause of our material bondage. Becoming attached to cats and dogs, and in this case a deer, is the cause of attaining such a bodily form. Unless, Srila Prabhupada writes here, unless they clearly increase their affection and love for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. In the biographies of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, it is described that Srivash Thakur, not only was he liberated, which in Vaishnava parlance means attained his original constitutional position, mukti hidvanyata rupam swarupena vyavastitihi. Not only he, but all the members of his household, including his servants, and even the dogs and cats, due to the power of his bhakti. This should not be taken as a carte blanche or a blanket approval of devotees keeping dogs in their house. In fact, in Vedic culture it's understood that only chandalas keep dogs in their house. Keeping dogs outside the house, that is acceptable. In the Western countries, that would be somewhat difficult because it's so cold there. But there in Croatia, we see they at Muraregupta, there's some dogs that come around his house. It's very cold there in the winter. But somehow they live. Local people throw them a few scraps of food, and they live. Wild dogs. So the general formula, general advice, is don't become attached to dogs. Even in India, people, there are dogs in the villages, but they don't have special affection. They're there, but no special affection is given for them. As in the West, it's quite surprising how much affection people lavish on their dog. So these rules are there. It might seem that, well, why not have a nice friend of a dog? Dog is so nice. You pat him on the head and he'll wag his tail. So nice. He'll lick you. But the danger there, well, there are various problems with that. One thing is the dog is very unclean. Even by the standard of the cat might be clean because the cat is always cleaning his body, but by licking itself. So, in one sense clean, but very impure. So, that's one problem. It's very unclean, and some animals, they have very strong smell. So if you go in the house where the dog is kept, the whole house smells of the dog. But another, even more serious problem is that one becomes attached to the dog and has to take birth as a dog. And we see that even in this life, people, they start, because their subtle body is preparing themselves to take birth as a dog or a horse, that their face, their facial features start to change like that also. So it's quite common that you see a man with his dog, and the man looks like the dog. His gross facial feature has changed. With a horse also, it's very common. People become attached to horses. And of course, the classic example is KFC, Kentucky Fried Chicken, Colonel Sanders, which has now made its glorious entry into the land of the rishis, Bharat. That it's quite clear to see that Colonel Sanders, before he died, had already taken facial features similar, already had been imposed upon him, facial features similar to that of a chicken, which he's now undergoing. Many births as a chicken. And it's such a vicious cycle he's got himself in that even after his death, all the millions of chickens that are slaughtered in his name, he has to take karmic reaction for that also. He doesn't stop getting his karmic reaction when he died. He has to take the consequences of all of that. So this is extremely serious. That's why it's important to regularly discuss the teachings in Srimad Bhagavatam and to study these points. Otherwise, unless we clearly increase our love and affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead, we're in very grave danger of getting born again. We may think, well, getting born as a dog, that's pretty bad. We ever get born as a human, but getting born anywhere is a disaster. And to take birth again is it's horrible every time round, without exception, whatever species of life we may be in. So Srivash Thakur had intense affection for the Supreme Personality of Godhead. He was, even though he was living with family members, he was clearly attached to the Supreme Lord, which was demonstrated when the incident when Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was dancing in his house, as he would do every night over a period of several years. And, of course, at that time he wasn't known as Chaitanya, he was known as Nimai Pandit. And in the inner quarters, that's mean where the women lived, they didn't jump around in the kirtan with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's male associates. Srivas's one son died. Srivas became aware of this, and he told all the women, stop crying, don't make a fuss, don't disturb Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan. He said, if you don't stop crying, I'm going to go and jump in the Ganga and drown myself immediately. So they all stopped crying. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came to be aware of this. And he asked, why didn't... The kirtan went on, but that was the point, that Srivas didn't want the kirtan to be disturbed. Why should Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's kirtan be disturbed? Just because my son died. Which, from philosophical perspective, is correct perspective, because Ahani Ahani Bhutani Gacchanti Hayamalayam, every day so many people die. But it's not every day or that you get the Supreme Lord dancing in your house. Not every day, for most people it's not any day. So his affection for the Supreme Lord was such that his affection for his own family members was insignificant in relationship with it. The bodily affection doesn't mean that he was completely cold. Bodily affection or the family affection is not totally forbidden, just like we see. Arjuna became so upset at the death of Abhimanyu when he found out that Jayadratha had been a major cause of that. Jayadratha using his once only benediction from Shiva that he could defeat or withhold the Pandavas and stop them coming to help Abhimanyu, as he was illegally killed. So Arjuna became so upset that he vowed that either tomorrow I will kill Jayadratha or I will enter into fight. He was extremely upset. And of course, his wife, who was the mother of Abhimanyu, Subhadra, she was very upset. Everyone was very upset. And even we become upset when we hear about it 5,000 years later. So, affection is not wrong or bad. Affection, that is the whole meaning of everything. What is the meaning of life? The meaning of life is love. But we have to know to whom that love should be directed. To Krishna. That doesn't mean that one doesn't have affection for others, but the center is Krishna, because Abhimanyu was a great devotee, therefore Arjuna loved him. We find in the case of, there are many cases, Advaita Acharya had some sons who were Vaishnavas, he had some who were not Vaishnavas. So he didn't care for the non-Vaishnava sons. There are many such cases. Didn't care means he didn't have any special affection for them. So the whole point is smartavya satatang Vishnu, vismartavya na jatuchit. To always remember Krishna. And to remember Krishna means to love Krishna. That is better qualified as that one should cultivate attachment for Krishna favorably. It's understood. There may be some who cultivate remembering Krishna, but in an unfavorable way. Oh, that point. Yeah. Oh, anyway. Cultivating attraction for Krishna in an unfavorable way. And there are examples of Kamsa, Shishupal. Shishupal was extremely Krishna conscious. The very first words he spoke were about Krishna, but in a hateful attitude. So intense remembrance of Krishna, but not in a loving way. That is unnatural. So when it's stated Smartavya Satatang Vishnu, that means to always think of Vishnu and in a loving, the natural. It's natural to love Krishna. There's also the Shanta Ras of just being appreciating Krishna. But that is not the subject of, certainly not the subject of Rupa Goswami's teachings. The Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu discusses five principal rasas sthayi bhav, that one has a particular fixed relationship with Krishna. So sometimes it's discussed five rasas, shantarati, but it's not. There's not much ras in there, not much feeling. It's more developed, more and more developed. There's sugar cane, and then sugar cane juice, and then that's boiled, it becomes thicker, and then becomes gur, and then from that it's refined, and then you get this mishri. So there are different stages of sweetness. So affection and love for the Supreme Personality of God, always thinking, such affection that one cannot but think of Krishna. For in the life of sadhana, we're trying to cultivate that affection for Krishna. That's why it's very important to hear these things, because our natural attraction, our natural propensity is to love. But if it seems easier to direct that love to cats and dogs, or to some sports star or film star or our family members. But there's a different result of loving our family members and different result from loving Krishna. So Smartavya Satatang Vishnu, Vismartavya Nadyatu Chit, never forget Krishna. Sarva Vidhi Nishedasya Eta Yor Eva Kinkaraha. All the rules and regulations, and there are many, they are subordinate to, they are servants of this injunction. To always remember Krishna and to never forget him. However, that doesn't mean that we just forget all the other rules and regulations, and we can't just, we find ourselves incapable of just changing our consciousness from being non-Krishna conscious to Krishna conscious. Rules and regulations, they may be largely neglected for someone who is on the platform of full Krishna consciousness. But that would include also eating. Some people are anxious not to follow rules and regulations. Then stop eating. Stop passing stool. That's also one of the rules and regulations. Stop brushing your teeth. That's there in the Bhakti Rasamrita, the rules of for the sadhakas. Brush your teeth. So don't brush it. Don't eat. Is there not no rules and regulations? Vanshidas Babaji, Gorkishordas Babaji, they were avadhut. They didn't follow rules. They had their own rules, which for Gorkishord, that was his rule, was asat sangatiya. There's one rule he followed very strictly. But they clearly were fully absorbed in love of Krishna. To imitate that means that one doesn't have full love of Krishna and one is not following the rules that helps one come to that platform. And that is a cause of fall down, which is why we see Gaurakeshwar, he didn't accept people who came and they attempted to imitate him. He was dismissive of them. Later, Srila Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he founded the Gauriya Math, not in imitation of Gaurakeshwar Das Babaji, in service of him. Giving rules and regulations that people can live at, so that they can practically start to approach that level. So rules and regulations are required. If we actually always think of Krishna, never forget Krishna, then rules may not be necessary. But we see here in the case of Bharat Maharaj, he'd almost reached that stage. But then he relaxed the rules. He became attached to, actually it came round the other way. First he became attached to a deer, then he relaxed the rules. Due to attachment for a deer, he gradually forgot Krishna, or remembered Krishna in a secondary way. He would pray to Krishna, please protect the deer. He lamented when he was passing away that, oh, who will protect the deer now? Instead of thinking of Krishna, he thought of the deer. So, if we don't follow all the rules and regulations and we always remember Krishna, that is perfectly acceptable. But the warning is there in the life of Bharat Maharaj not to overestimate our position and think that we don't have to follow the rules and regulations. Therefore, we're given the various formulae by which we can come to that platform. Anukulyasya sankalpa, pratikulyasya varjanam. These two very important considerations. To accept everything that is favorable for the service of Krishna and to reject everything that isn't favorable. And that means there are so many rules. Vidhi, that which should be done. That is anukulyasya sankalpa. That should be accepted. And nishid, there are rules. Do this. Rise early in the morning. Chant the holy name of Krishna, japa. And nishid, don't do this. Don't associate with non-devotees. Don't even take food offered by non-devotees. Actually, the Bishoyerana Kaile Malinhaiman, this statement, by eating the food of sense gratifiers, the mind becomes contaminated. This doesn't mean only food cooked by them, but it means the traditional understanding of this has been even raw grains. One should take only from pious people. Actually, we buy food from the bazaar and we cook that and offer it to Krishna. But traditionally, that's not an acceptable standard. That should be grown in the fields which belong to the deity, or it should be offered by pious farmers. Not that the fruit stall is next to the fish stall. Actually, this is not acceptable according to traditional standards. And as far as possible, as much as we follow these standards, that will also help us in our Krishna consciousness. That is the better way to serve the Lord, by following all these things. Srila Prabhupada, he also noted that the best, when in France at the farm there, that devotees had acquired, Srila Prabhupada said, yeah, this is the best food, that you grow it yourself and offer it to Krishna. That's real karma-free and full of bhakti. From the very beginning, they were planting the seeds, preparing the ground for the seeds, planting the seeds. From the very beginning, the meditation is how to please Krishna with this. So accept everything favorable for Krishna service. Reject everything. This is all included. This is how we can come to the platform, Smaratavya Satyatam Vishnu. How can we remember at this time? We can start to meditate on Krishna's pastimes, hear Krishna's pastimes. But living in this world, we have to regulate our lives. That's why the phrase is there, rules and regulations. Therefore, regulating our life. At this time of day, we should do this. At this time of day, we should do this. It's very useful. Regulated life is very useful for spiritual advancement. That helps to control our activities and helps to control the mind also. In preaching Krishna consciousness, due to various fluctuations in time schedule and various other reasons, it may be difficult to be fully regulated. But that's always in the life of sadhus, we see traditional India that regulation is very important. Rising early, fixed schedule. So these are all very helpful for controlling the mind and helping to place it on Krishna. And then the whole attitude, Rakshisha Titi Vishvaso Guptritve Varanam Tata, that knowing that Krishna will, having the faith that Krishna will protect me, Krishna will maintain me. Atma Nikshepa, we hear about this regularly. It's not just that, okay, Smaratavya Satyatam, okay, just remember Krishna. But we have to cultivate this. Throwing ourselves at Krishna, giving ourselves to Krishna. And here we hear in the Bhagavatam, how this may be done, but here in the life of great devotees, Bharat Maharaj, he made a mistake in one life, but the next time, how determined he was. As Jarabharat, how determined he was. He was fully cognizant of everything going around him, but he pretended that he wasn't. He pretended that he was a fool. And even when it came to the point that he was captured and about to be sacrificed to Bhadra Kali, he was so detached. No, that I'm not going to interact with people. Otherwise they'll spoil my Krishna consciousness. He came out of this self-imposed isolation from the world to favor Rahugana Maharaj for the sake of preaching. That's all. Just to help someone else. Otherwise, he was so absorbed, atmanyeva atmana, tushta, fully satisfied, fully absorbed in the self, meditating on Krishna. He didn't want to take any chances. So by hearing about these great devotees in different circumstances, we can understand how to live our life also so that we can always think of Krishna. And the Krishna conscious movement is meant for creating a situation which makes it easy for people or facilitates their always thinking of Krishna by being engaged always in Krishna's service. Therefore, ashram life, brahmachari ashram. Here is a brahmachari ashram. There's also a grihastha ashram. Grihastha ashram is meant for, ashram means that is meant for remembering Krishna. Ashram life means it is a spiritual institution. So it's very difficult to prosecute the activities of grihastha ashram if one's means of livelihood involves activities which are difficult to relate to Krishna and association with people who are not in Krishna consciousness. So Srila Prabhupada, he wanted to establish varnashram communities in which people can, devotees can live together and be devotees. And swakaramana tamabhyacha, do their work and remember Krishna, which is not allowed in secular life. If you have a job, you work in an office, you're not supposed to remember Krishna. You're supposed to be 100% absorbed without any deviation with intense focus on doing your job to make money for your company. So you're supposed to have pure devotion. Anyabhilashita shunyam. You're supposed to have full devotion without any other motive to working to make money for your boss. We used to say working for your boss, but nowadays people don't even know who their boss is. It's some amorphous company spread all over the world. It's so impersonal. So, Srila Prabhupada wanted to make Varnashram community so devotees can live together and chant Hare Krishna. Traditionally, farmers in the field in India, they would go behind the bull with the plow, singing songs about Krishna. You're not allowed to sing songs about Krishna in the average office or in the factory. There'll be different kinds. In the factory, there'll be different kind of music playing, not Krishna conscious music. So these rules and regulations are there to help us remember Krishna. As long as Bharat Maharaj was following the rules and regulations, he was properly situated. As soon as he became slack, because of his attachment to the deer, he became slack. And then his attachment increased because he didn't have the strength to resist. And then the attraction increased, increased, increased until he was fully deer conscious, not Krishna conscious. Became fully absorbed. He attained a level of love and affection which he was aiming for in going to the forest, but his object of love and affection was not Krishna. It was a deer. And however sweet a deer might be, that is not the proper object of our affection. That is a cause of bondage and entanglement in this world. So there are many statements given in Shastra. To accept everything favorable in Krishna's service, one should be a Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam Maitra Karna Evachan. One should be kind to all living beings. How does one do that? Bharat Maharaj was doing that. No, he wasn't doing that. He became fixated on one living being. Not all living beings. One can properly serve all living beings by being Krishna conscious. But if we become overly attached to one living being on the mundane platform, then we have to get born again. And our attachment to Krishna decreases. So all these directions are given in Bhagavad Gita. Amanitvam, Adhambitvam, all the to be prideless. Now we also hear that yasyasti bhakti bhakti bhagavatya kinchana sarvai gunaistattva samasate suraha. One who has unflinching devotion for Krishna, he automatically has all godly qualities. So then why should we even think about these qualities? Just chant Hare Krishna. But these qualities are also part of the process of bhakti, is hearing about these qualities and hearing about how these qualities manifest in the persons of in the personalities of great devotees like Ambarish Maharaj, Yudhishthira Maharaj. So it's not that we just say, well, I'll just chant Hare Krishna and I don't have to bother about any qualities, just be nasty to everyone and chant Hare Krishna. But that doesn't work. Because Krishna tells us, Advaishta Sarva Bhutanam, one should be non-envious toward all living beings. By hearing about the qualities of great devotees, that's part of the process of bhakti. And that's how, the point is that we don't have to go to special seminars on anger control or how to be a nice person. Rather, we shouldn't go, because that's asat sangha. Within the process of bhakti, all good qualities develop. It's included within the process of bhakti. It's not extraneous to the process of devotional service. So we hear about, so just like we some great distress comes upon us. It happens to everyone. We never know when it's going to happen. At any moment, anything can happen. something terrible can happen to us. But then we have to remember, oh, just like, for instance, Ambarish Maharaj, he was very piously performing the Ekadashi Vrata. You wouldn't think that in performing such a dedicated performance of Ekadashi Vrata, he's doing it only to serve the Supreme Lord, and in that situation, all of a sudden, a dreadful calamity came upon him. You would think, well, I'm serving Krishna, why should something bad like that happen? But it happened to Ambarish Maharaj. So we can remember, some calamity comes upon us, and we can remember how Ambarish Maharaj reacted also. They didn't get all upset. Just said, oh, demons coming to kill me. All right, Hare Krishna. Didn't become upset, didn't become disturbed at all. And Krishna protected him. So Krishna, we have to understand all these points. It's not that we always think of Krishna. All the other rules are servants of this. But Krishna is always with his servants. It's not just me and Krishna. Krishna is always with his servants. So if these rules and regulations are the servants of Krishna, then we're supposed to become the servant of the servant. So we should follow these rules. They're given by Krishna to help us to come to the point of always remembering him and never forgetting him. Rules and regulations, not only rules and regulations, but attitude like this. This matra sparsha stukhauntaya shito ushna sukha dukha daha agama payano nityas tangs tatikshasva bharata. Here in the beginning of Krishna's instruction, Krishna tells Arjuna that you should tolerate these things that are just like happiness and distress, because just like heat and cold, they come and go. So just tolerate. So that's a philosophical position of how to tolerate. That anyway, now it's too hot and very uncomfortable, but it will go, this situation will go. So why should I bother? Why should I get so upset? You won't remain hot forever. So that's a philosophical outlook. And then the devotional outlook is tateinu kampana susamikshamano bhunjana evatma kritam vipakam hridvagva pubhya vidatam namaste jivaita yo muktipadesa dayabhag. Sorry. The devotional outlook is that, well, now I'm suffering. This is the result of some sinful activity that I performed in the past. So let me tolerate it. I deserve it. I deserve much more. But let me accept this, knowing that it's sent to me by Krishna for my purification, and go on serving Krishna with mind, body, and words. That's the devotional attitude. Hare Krishna. Any question? Please. No? All right. I have a question. Yeah, please say it.
One devotee suggested you should do for 1 month Vrata, not to criticize anyone.
It's a philosophical approach to. Oh yeah, you told me about that a class of devotees at the MIHE, Mayapur Institute of Higher Education, had been instructed by the teacher not to criticize anyone for 1 month, to take a vow not to criticize anyone.
Why only 1 month?
Well, then you have to stop reading Bhagavad Gita. Because if you say, namang dushkushano murha, that's a criticism. Anyone who doesn't surrender to Krishna is a rascal. Oh, I can't say that. I discussed this in this book, Strongly Speaking, on Strongly Speaking, Srila Prabhupada. To say that we shouldn't criticize anyone is an implicit criticism of those who do criticize others. So you're caught in it's a logical fallacy. Never say the word never. I never tell the truth. Is that true what you said just now? It's a self-defeating statement. So all this should be understood very clearly. I discussed that to some extent in that book on speaking strongly in Srila Prabhupada's. So I've discussed means I quoted from Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, that criticism is valid under certain circumstances. If it's meant to benefit others, if it's not meant for us, if it's actually beneficial, if one is authorized to do so and so on and so on. There are various. This is a sahajya idea, which sounds very nice, that just don't criticize anyone under any circumstances. But that, it sounds very nice, but the result is that it gives latitude to others just to do all kinds of nonsense, and then we're supposed to, don't even criticize in your mind. This suspends our discrimination between what is right and what is wrong. It's actually a cause of fall down in Vaishnav society, because indirectly it's a plea not to discriminate between what should be done and what should not be done. So it sounds very nice, but we should see that the real thing is that we should criticize that which should be criticized. That is the point. We should not criticize out of envy, but we should also not fail to criticize that which requires to be criticized. Otherwise we'll be in trouble. If we say that following the rules and regulations of Krishna consciousness and not following, it's all the same, then we may say, well, in this way we don't criticize anyone. But we also undermine the teachings of all the acharyas who gave us these rules. And indirectly we're saying that what they gave was it's non-applicable. It's not important. So this is a very grave misunderstanding. This should be very severely criticized, that people come from all over the world to Mayapur to get taught wrong things which spoils their Krishna consciousness, or substitute some kind of new age Mayavad wishy-washy supposed being nice saintliness in the name of Krishna consciousness. These things are going on. Just be nice. Smile at everyone. That's all. That you also told me a few years ago. One of the big leaders from around here summarized his seminar. The most important thing is to always smile. And where is this in Bhagavad Gita? The most important thing is to always... Don't worry, Arjuna. The most important thing is to... always try. Abhimanyu got killed. Anyway, just smile. Isn't rascal though? What is that? I just saw on the internet one of our big leaders giving a 3-minute talk on the value of Bhagavad Gita without Prabhupada or Krishna ever being mentioned in the 3 minutes. Value of Bhagavad Gita. You have to approach a spiritual teacher, and he said, the best teacher I ever had in my life was my music teacher at school, not Prabhupada. He's a GBC member. And the teacher teaches you to be the best that you possibly can. Just mundane. To be a success in mundane. It doesn't qualify that what being the best. No spiritual teachings whatsoever. So, be careful. Misrepresentations of Bhagavad Gita deserve to be very severely criticized. And in fact, it has been very severely criticized, which it deserves. So don't believe. This is why we should study Srila Prabhupada's books and apply our mind to understand them. And then people say things and say, oh, really? And where is that in Srila Prabhupada's teachings? Where is that in Shastra? If someone says to you, you take a vow not to criticize anyone for 1 month. Really? Have any of our acharyas taught that? Did Krishna teach this? We should ask. Where is it? Oh, but a very senior devotee said it. A senior devotee means you don't have a license to talk all nonsense just because you have some position in the institution. The license is that you follow Guru, Sadhu and Shastra. That's all. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kariya Aika Ana Kariya Mane Asha. So why bring so many other things? Be the best that you possibly can. This is just some new age twaddle. That's all. Ana Kariya Mane Asha. I think what's happening is that some devotees, they're looking out and seeing all these big gurus like Sri Sri Ravi Shankar and Deepak Chopra, and they're thinking, well, why can't we have many followers like that? And they, well, let's do what they do. Then we'll have many followers. But, I mean, these people have got years of practice and they're empowered by Maya to cheat people. So it's a difficult act to follow. So why don't we just stick to our thing? And if as the result of our efforts, even one person takes to pure Krishna consciousness, that should be considered a success. And even if no one comes, still we can't change the teachings of Krishna. Then we become a mudha. Namang diskusyano mudha, prapadyantena radhamaha, maya parita jnana, asurang bhavam ashrita. We're not taking shelter of Krishna. We don't surrender to Krishna. We take shelter of our own mental speculation or someone else's mental speculation. We're so weak. We have such weak minds that we can't even cook up our own nonsense. We have to borrow it from some new age guru. But this means that we're not surrendering to Krishna. That should be thoroughly criticized. But this sahajya idea that you shouldn't criticize anyone has entered so deeply within ISKCON that you can't point out what's... Even by showing Srila Prabhupada's teachings, you can't... The sahajya idea is so strong that... No, we shouldn't criticize it. This idea is there. And all nonsense is going on. Hare Krishna. Anything else? Yeah. Mundane compassion. Yeah. Mundane compassion. What modes of nature is this? Well, the mode of goodness is there. The mode of passion may also be there. Just like... clearly, much of philanthropy is motivated by the desire to be known as a good person. So that's Rajogun. So the mode of goodness, the desire to help others is good, but unless there's clear knowledge, then one simply gets entangled on the mundane platform.
There's the devotee is traveling and preaching, and he's not involved in the management or anything. He just want to, you know, sing and speak about Krishna. And
someone wants to just travel and preach and not get involved in management.
So that's nice. But now, what happens is when he says, oh, this temple land was so nice, and that temple was so nice, and this temple was so nice. But I don't think he sees really the reality of it, because, I mean, in one way it's nice, you know, they sing together, they have a little Krishna conscious program together, it's nice. But I don't think he has a real picture of position of people there, and then how he can really, is it really helping them, or is it, what is his position, what is his attitude, what is his understanding, how much he can benefit others.
So what's being said here, is it being implied that unless one is as critical as me, then you can't benefit others? Not seeing reality. Someone goes from temple to temple as a preacher, and they say, wherever I go, the devotees are very nice. And they join me in kirtan, and they like the classes. Everything's wonderful. Yeah, if you stay some more time, then you may see that there are other things going on also. So, it's nice to appreciate and encourage the good things. But if there are mundane undercurrents, they should be addressed also. And frankly, we see in many centers of Krishna consciousness that the mundane, although the activities of Krishna consciousness are going on, deity worship, kirtan, and may be nicely going on, but the undercurrent actually defines the whole ethos. The undercurrent of some particular person has to be in charge, and they have to get the credit and the facility, and preaching is going on, but we're going to make sure we get all the praise for it. Preaching, the idea is to show more people, so that you show that you're better than other preachers. Very mundane attitude. So the formality may be going on. That's what Srila Prabhupada said about the Gauriya Math. He said the formality is going on, but the spirit of service is lost. Spirit of selfless service. Excuse me for being so critical all the time, but we are to use the word critical in another way, we are in a critical period in which Srila Prabhupada left this world a short time ago, and to a large extent, the movement that he started has been sidetracked. And although it looks like it's going on very well, there are so many mundane undercurrents and misappropriations that although people take to Krishna consciousness, they don't, from the beginning, they don't really understand what they're supposed to be doing. So someone might think, yeah, I'm working very hard and we're getting lots of money and lots of people are coming, but they have no real spiritual life themselves. And they don't really care whether anyone else has either. Their rounds, chanting their rounds is something they might just fit in here and there. They're not cultivating namagane sadaruchihi, any attraction for the holy name. They don't read Prabhupada's books. They don't have any idea to read Prabhupada's books. They're more busy going out and getting more people to come in, but what for? Just to make more people to come in. So preaching, we have to keep a strong spiritual focus. We could all be out every morning at 6 o'clock in the morning going out for preaching and saving the fallen soul, but we should, we may do that on occasion. Like for, sometimes we may be out all night if there's some, just like at Tiruvannamalai, that one night is very good for book distribution. But not on a regular basis, we have to have regular hearing, chanting, all these things. We have to study Srila Prabhupada's, but we have to keep focused. Otherwise, simply to increase in the manner of some Christian missionaries or something like that. And what is the point, actually? And practically speaking, although we have to be very careful in not to blow our own trumpet, as the saying goes, or sound our own horn, but here, when we don't have any alternative approach, or what they call alternative approach, here it's just straightforward Krishna consciousness as Prabhupada gave it, and it seems to be doing better than, I think we have more brahmacharis here than the whole of the rest of Tamil Nadu ISKCON temples put together. So, if the aim is to preach, and we've distributed more books, maybe than all of them put together, I don't know. But definitely more than any other center. So, if the aim is to, even in terms of numbers, we seem to be doing better. So, what is the aim actually? Is the name popular? Is the aim popularity or fame or money or what's the aim? Our aim should be to satisfy Krishna, and that means to satisfy Srila Prabhupada. We should just try to do that, and everything will follow from that. Rather than if we hear that Srila Prabhupada, he wants many people to take to Krishna consciousness, and then we forget all the other things. He also wants us to read his books, to rise early in the morning. And we think, okay, let me just forget everything else and bring more and more people in. But then we don't fully satisfy him. When Srila Prabhupada asks, what satisfies you the most? He said, if you love Krishna. Devotees were trying to coax out of Srila Prabhupada the answer, if you distribute many books. But he didn't reply that. He understood that the devotees were trying to coax that answer out of him. He didn't say that. He said, if you love Krishna. Aradito yadi haris tapasatatakim. Naradito yadi haris tapasatatakim. If for all else, for everything that we do, if we don't love Krishna, then what's the use? And if we do love Krishna, then all other things become immaterial in comparison. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai.